machine gun within its claw. All is lost without the law. Hail the law, you Christian men. Seize the kingdom back again. Hail the law, help Christ the Lord. Overthrow the foreign horde. Overthrow the foreign horde.
And good evening, Remnant, and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you on this beautiful, welcome to June, this beautiful June day, June 1st, 2023. Had some clouds rolling in this afternoon, which is good. Spring showers, that's what we're hoping for. We hope that we do get some good spring showers, and we're thankful. We are thankful to be here and thankful. It's greener than normal. It is just a great spring so far, and just a couple weeks to summer. I'm going to talk about that as we start out here, but let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer first. It's always a good thing to start out that way. Well, Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for all of your blessings that are upon us, Lord. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. For the love that you show us, Lord, that while we were yet enemies, you died for us to bring us back into relationship with you and with God the Father. That you, for the joy set before you, went to the cross to grant us salvation, Lord, to be that ultimate sacrifice once and for all. And we thank you for that. We do. Help us to love, Lord, because you loved us first. Help us to forgive, Lord, so that we may be forgiven. Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear the events of the day, Lord, as these perilous times are upon us, these last days that we are in, that, Lord, we are able to have your eyes and your heart, Lord, one to have a love and a compassion for our fellow man, for our brethren, but, Lord, also to see the enemies. And to see that that Lord, we are being invaded, and that these things that are happening, Lord, are because of our sin, because we have turned from you, Lord. And so, Father, I pray for repentance in the land, for a realizing of this before it's too late, and a turning to you, Lord. Help us be good examples, Lord. Help us to look forward. And look for the opportunities that you present to us to share your gospel, to help those that are lost, to help find them, Lord, and to help them find you. I pray for your blessing on this broadcast tonight, Lord. Let it be an encouragement to your people, Father, as we know that you sit in the heavens and laugh at the schemes and the plans of men. And so, Lord, help us to rejoice in that. And I pray all this to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, again, Remnant, welcome to June. Summer is just around the corner, just not quite 3 weeks away. So that really ties in so much as the seasons. There's so much to talk about there. And I've really been thinking about that lately, just how things are, that this season of spring, I have sure enjoyed this season of spring. I enjoyed it a whole lot better than the season of summer that we just got out of, or the season of winter, excuse me, the season of winter that we just got out of. It pretty cold winter out here, and it is, the spring we've had has been nice and cool. I'm in a sweatshirt, been in a sweatshirt all day today. Started out about 42 degrees this morning when I was outside a little bit before 7, and it's just been a cool day. It has, and the whole spring has been that way. More rain than normal, cooler temperatures. What a blessing that it is. But that season's coming to an end, and the season of summer is fast approaching. June 18th is the next 91st day, and so we'll start reminding you of that. The 91st day, which are Sabbaths between the seasons, Sabbaths as a season ends and a season begins, and so we hope you can observe it. We have the 91st day packet that we'd be glad to send to you. We've sent hundreds of them out. We've been observing this ministry has, and those of us on this ministry, since 2001. And so we encourage you. We've reprinted the 91st day packet. It has the original mail out, a reprint of the original mail out from 2001 from Pastor Peters, entitled An Exhortation and Explanation on the Need to Keep the Passover and the 91st Days. And it's quite interesting. There's a special alert in here that, again, was the mailing that the pastor sent out in 2001. And I remember, I lived in South Carolina at the time. We were on the ministry, but I remember getting the mailing. And in the mail there, so we could observe the Passover makeup day and the 91st days. This packet also includes Psalms 94 from the Septuagint, and then another writing, several pages that Pastor had written concerning the 91st days, and so. The Bible tells us that part of the ways of God is to conceal a matter, but it's the ways of kings to search out a matter. I think we read that last night with Brother Paul. And so I encourage you to take a look at this if you're not familiar with the 91st days. We'd be glad to send you this packet, okay? I think it's 16 pages, maybe 8.5 by 11. We just print it and staple it and be glad to send it to you. But 91st day coming up, June 18th. And so you've got a little bit of time. You've got some time to order this packet, to take a look, certainly to pray about it, and to take the pastor's writings and look the scriptures up. And again, to be in prayer. So it's coming up, a little less than 3 weeks away, 91st day, and if there's ever been a time, I think, for us to be drawing closer to God, looking into a matter, searching for truth, looking at our own lives and how we are living, if we're being honest with ourselves, and if we are being the type of Christians that we want to be, we're given that opportunity. We read about that in Corinthians, to examine ourselves, judge ourselves. I'm not judging you. That's not my job. And I don't want you to judge me. That's not your job. Our job is to be open and honest, to be truthful, to worship God in spirit and truth, and to judge ourselves. And, you know, we talk about that sometimes, like at the new year, maybe a New Year's resolution. I'm not pushing or promoting that. It's just a thought occurs to me that we don't need a December 31st or a January 1st to do that. We can look up at our own lives, at what we're doing or what we're not doing, and we can do our best to change if that's what needs to happen. And you know, if we've already done that, great. It's not that we're proud or haughty or anything. No, but if we've done that already, if God has given us His grace and mercy and directed us to do that, good. Keep on doing it. You know, stay the path. Continue to pray for opportunities. I think we have to do that. You know, with the headlines that we have today from the invasion that is absolutely going on, I have to tell you, I talked to a sister on the ministry down in outside of Houston today. She made an order and on the phone, and we were able to get her some stuff out today. And I asked her just how things are. How are things down there in your part of Texas? And she said they're terrible. She said that there's so many people that have come in that it's unsafe to go by yourself to the grocery store, that it's unsafe to go and even go out and try to fuel up your car because of just the hordes, and it's just not safe. She said the crime has increased, the robberies just across the board. And she told me, she said the majority of these people coming across the border are not families. She said they are young, military age men. Oh, there's older people too, but the majority are young, middle-aged men. She said from every country you can imagine. And I've seen pictures of that. You see headlines every now and then about 36 Chinese nationals apprehended at the southern border. And we've seen that there have been Al-Qaeda terrorists, Islamic people of Middle Eastern descent that have been apprehended at the southern border, as well as people from every, whether it's Eastern nations or South American nations, Middle East or Far East. Nobody knows the millions that have come in. And it is an absolute invasion, folks. It is. We understand that, those of us that have eyes to see. You know, the Bible talks many times at the last days. And I've got a couple scriptures I want to share with you, because I'm hoping that you are familiar enough with this. Nope, not getting into prophecy. No, we're not becoming the Jack Imps or the Hal Lindseys or anything like that are saying, oh, look over to Israel and see what Israel is doing and what they have to do and how God... No, that's not biblical. It's not. You know, it's trying to take that that sow's ear and gild it and make it into something beautiful, and it's just not. It's just not. But you can read the scripture. You can take a look at it. And if you're like me, you've had friends, family, people asking, what do you think's going on? What you know, we had a call, I think, on coffee the other morning, and the person asked, what do you think is going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back? And, you know, I don't know. I really don't. I don't. I don't know the date or the time. I don't know the hour. No man does. And, you know, what is going to happen that might finally wake up these deaf and dumb, blinded Americans that call themselves Christians? That so many are, they call themselves Christians, but they're pro-choice. They're okay with abortion. They don't have a problem with the transgenderism, and they still shop at Target. And anyway, if you're like me, you've got people that are asking questions, that are bringing things up and saying, what about this, what about that? So we all need to be familiar with the Scriptures. Familiar enough, maybe we don't have them memorized, but we know where we can go, okay? And there's a couple second letters here, 2 Timothy and 2 Peter. So that's a good thing to remember, 2 Timothy 3 and 2 Peter 3. And so that kind of locks it in pretty good. So if the subject of the last days, of what is happening today, the invasion, why things are happening, if it comes up with you, here's a couple pointers, a couple of 2-3s. That's pretty easy to remember, right? 2 Timothy 3, 2 Peter 3. And that gets you there. That gets you there. And so if somebody, you know, somebody asks, well, why are these things happening? And what should we be doing? Well, let's take a look. We can go to 2 Timothy 3. We can go to 2 Peter 3. So just a little mnemonics or whatever to help you remember that. That's our job, is to encourage and to equip the saints, right? As we have been equipped, our job, our duty, our mine as well as yours, remnant, our responsibility as the membership, as the congregation of the Church of Christ, of the LaPorte Church of Christ, and as bigger as of the congregation of the true followers of Jesus Christ in these days that we are in, we have to make sure that we have an answer. We have to make sure that we can, again, we don't have to have it memorized, but we know where to go. We know where to go. Real quick, 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. Let's take a look at the first few verses here. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good. I want to say that one again. Haters of good. Treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. And then he finishes up, verse 5 says, and avoid such men as these. And those instructions, just as the Apostle Paul wrote them to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, they are written to us today. And I know I've read them before. I've probably read them so many times on the radio, you're tired of hearing me read them on the radio. But it's where we're at today. We are living this. These difficult times that this Bible talks about are here. That's what you're living. That's what we all are, no matter where we are, whether we're in Michigan or Florida or Texas or Hawaii or New York or New Hampshire or Nebraska or Wyoming or Colorado or anywhere in between. These, we see this. And many of us have woken up to it. Remnant, remember, there are so many out there, even those that are in the churches that call themselves Christians, they're not familiar with this. They're not familiar that these writings are for us today, because their preachers aren't preaching on it. They're not. So remember those 2-3s, 2 Timothy 3, 2 Peter 3. And when you look through this, we could take any one of these And we see it so much. We see these signs that the Bible gives us, that in the last days, these difficult times will come. Well, what kind of difficult times? Yeah, my pastor told me about the rapture, that we're going to be raptured out, and then that we don't have to put up with it. We're rescued out of the tribulation. Well, that's not what the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy. He didn't say, Timothy, my son in the Scriptures, my son in the faith, just pray that you can be raptured out of the tribulation that's coming. And you know, the Scriptures are simple, folks. They are. They're not complex. They're not complicated. There's complex things there, and there's complicated matters there. But for the most part, these difficult times are upon us. Men are malicious gossips today. So many are without self-control, whether it's self-control to keep from eating too much, to keep from drinking too much, to keep from just doing whatever comes to mind. Without self-control of staying away from drugs. Just a total lack of self-control today. Lovers of pleasure, it says, rather than lovers of God. You know, if you want to have the desires of your heart, we've told all our children this. We've done our best to teach them this, and some have applied it, some haven't. Some do at different times, and some don't. And it's that way with all of us, right? Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. God says, I'll give you the desires of your heart. And we get that by seeking first the kingdom, right? Seeking first the kingdom. And the reason we don't have the desires of our heart, the reason we are in this mess is we have, the Bible says, you've lost your first love. One of the instructions to one of the churches in Revelation there, you've lost your first love. We are to seek first the kingdom. And he says, and then all these other things will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom. And we have all lost that. We have. It's not in the public consciousness like it was at one time. It's not. Why? Because we're in the last days, and these difficult times have come upon us. Isn't it exciting to live in Bible days? It's exciting for me. Now, it can be disheartening at times, no doubt. We have to make sure that we're thinking the right ways, that we see this. We see the invasion that's going on the South, and we call it what it is. It's an absolute invasion. We see the headlines of today, the transgenderism being pushed and promoted, and it's put before our face time after time after time on purpose to get us used to it. That's why Bud Light did that with their can, was to get you used to it. And that's why Target is pushing and promoting it so much. And that's one of the reasons that all the news stations, whether it's Fox or CNN or MSNBC, all of them are pushing all this to keep it in front of you, to get you used to it. To get you used to it. That's why they're pushing it in the schools. That's why there's mandatory teachings and classes you have to take in the workforce to get us used to it. We need to turn that off and turn back to the Word of God and get used to that. And that's what we need to be indoctrinated in, because these difficult times have come and it's telling us we are in the last days. Now, it's their last days. It's the last days of Babylon. Just as Rome fell, Babylon is falling. It's their last days. We're told to come out of her, right? We're told not to have anything to do with it. And that's almost impossible today. I think we have to remember that, my thought anyway, is the Word tells us that we're in the world, but we're not to be of the world. We're not to love those things of the world. We're to keep our priorities in a better order than the world. And I think if we can do our best to seek first the kingdom. And what does that mean? Well, we have a list here in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, of what to avoid. And so if we can look at this list and do the opposite, right? Lovers of self, well, we're not to be lovers of self, right? Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came to be, he said he came to serve and not to be served. And he loved me and you more so than self, so much that he died for us. So we aren't to be lovers of self, but lovers were to deny self, to think of others more highly than ourselves. And that, I mean, that just runs, that's just contrary to us, isn't it? That's contrary. What do you mean? What do you mean, think more of others than myself? If I don't look out for me, who will? Am I the only one that comes across this way, that has these thoughts? I don't think so. I don't. Anyway, so, but we have this because these difficult times have come. We're seeing the last days, so we have instructions here. It says men will be lovers of money. So guess what? Don't love money. That's the root of all evil, right? The love of money. Now, we have to have money. We have to work and make money. There's no doubt about that. We have to have jobs. We have to be wise with our money, but not be lovers of it. You know, we are to love God. We are to love our neighbors ourselves. Husbands are to love your wives as Christ loved the church. Wives are to love your husbands, love your children. We have plenty of things that we're told to love and to put in the proper order. And money ain't one of them. Got to have it. No doubt about it. We have to have it. We have to have it to get by, to pay for fuel. We've got to pay for fuel like everybody else does. And we've got to buy food and clothes. But we're told to seek first the kingdom just to keep things in the right order. I hope I'm coming across that way. Keep things in the right order. Boastful. Well, don't boast, right? If we boast in the Lord. Arrogance, it says. You know, even the Apostle Paul wrote, we've read it, I think I mentioned it at church a couple weeks ago, that when he came to some and he said, you know, I claim nothing but Christ crucified. I didn't come think, you know, trying to tell you that I knew all this stuff. He was not boastful. No, he was humble. Anyway, that tells us, as we judge ourselves, how we are to be and how we're not to be. That's one of the two threes. Another 2-3, 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3. Let's take a look here. 2 Peter 3. Starting in verse 1, he says, "This is now, beloved, the second letter I'm writing to you, in which I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder, that you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles." Second letter, he says, right? Because he'd already written one. Second, guess what? He wrote a third one as well here in 2 Peter and then 3 Peter. He says, "Know this, first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts and saying, 'Where's the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation.'" So again, what days are we in? Well, in the last days, mockers will come with their mocking. And do we have that today? Maybe more so than 5 years ago? Maybe more so than 10 years ago, do we have the mockers of Jesus Christ? And that's what it's talking about here. The mockers of the gospel. Do we have them? Have they come and are they mocking more now than 10 years ago, 20 years ago, than in the last generation, than in the generation before that? Yeah, they are. Yes, they are. Why? Because it's the last days. It goes on here, reading on, "For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But the present heavens and earth, by his word, are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and the destruction of ungodly men. And we do believe the word. If we believe the word, we have to believe this. If we have eyes to see and ears to hear, and many of us do, not being boastful, not being arrogant, we're not saying, oh, we got this figured out and you don't. No, but we can see what is going on. And we're doing our best to equip each other, to encourage each other, and hopefully to open the eyes of a few more while we have time. By His Word, it says, this present heaven and earth are reserved for fire. So in our land today, oh, you hear a lot about peace, right? Oh, the peace accords, and you hear a lot about that. And you hear a lot of talk about love, right? Love. That's what you see on the shirts at Target, right? Love. I had a friend send me a picture of a little Walmart display that they had, even here in our little Laramie Walmart, for the rainbow crowd, the LGBTQDFBRABC, I don't know what all it is. And that's what's all over it, pride and love and peace. And the world desires that, but the world doesn't get it unless they turn away from the world. You hear lots of talk of love and peace. You hear it all the time. But there's very little love for God. There's very little love for Jesus. There's very little love expressed out for those that follow Christ. No, today Jesus Christ is mocked and ridiculed. And like we said, like we read, because in the last days the mockers come with their mocking. And that is what we're experiencing. That is what we see all throughout the land. To the point that, oh, men can dress up like women and go read this filth to children in their drag queen story hours. But you can't present the plan of salvation to them. You can't present Jesus Christ to them. No, they'll tell you, I'm sorry, we have laws. There's laws against that. Well, it's man's edicts. That's what that is. Just remember that. And remember also, remnant, that God's word is as true today as it has always been. God's word doesn't change. God's wisdom doesn't change. God doesn't change. The wisdom of the world, what's acceptable and not. We talked about it, I want to say, last month. I don't remember. I think it was on the radio and on Sunday morning, about how the World Health Organization, back just about 10 years ago, is when they changed their outlook on transgenderism and homosexuality and those types of abhorrent behavior, I guess is the word. Because since they've had psychologists, those actions, transgenderism, homosexuality, things like that, were classified as mental illness. Because everybody understood they were wrong. They were aberrant, abhorrent, however, whatever word that is, it keeps popping in my mind. It was behavior that was outside the normal. It was thoughts that were outside the normal. It was not normal. It was considered abnormal. From the left, from the right, from the Christian, from the atheist, it was just understood.
Well, the definition has just been changed in the National Association of Psychology and Psychiatrists. And they just change it to where it's like, well, it's no longer listed as a mental illness.
What's changed? Just the listing. Just the wisdom of the world. But not the wisdom of God. No, it still says there, and shall we look over and take a look at it? Let's look over here. We are using Scripture tonight, so that's a good thing. That's always a good thing. See, it doesn't matter what I think of this. It matters what the Scripture says. You know, 1 Corinthians 2, I mentioned that earlier. That's where Paul says, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He wasn't coming and saying he had it all figured out, but he knew that part. But here in verse 14, he says, but a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. And you know, Remnant, that is one test. That is one way for us to judge ourselves, to see if we are still the natural man or the spiritual. If we accept the things of the Spirit of God or not. Because it says they're foolishness to the natural man. That's in 1 Corinthians 2. Foolishness to the natural man. The things of the Spirit of God. The things that we're reading. In 1 Corinthians 6, again, the Word of God, just as important, just as accurate, just as true today as it was 2,000 years ago when it was lived and written, just as true as it was maybe a few thousand years before that when the law was first given. Do you not know that the unrighteous, 1 Corinthians 6:9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Many people think of that as heaven. And I think you could put heaven right there. And that would hold true, I think, to the meaning of the Scriptures here. Do not be deceived, the Word says. The New Testament Scripture says. It is just that simple. You know it. I know it. Now, verse 11 says, such were some of you. Yeah, that's true. That's true for you, and that's true for me. Such were some of you, of us. It says, but you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Now, the natural man looks at that as foolishness. And that's how the world looks at it. But we aren't of the world. We have been washed. We have been sanctified. We have been justified. We have repented and turned. It doesn't matter what the attitudes of the people are. I am so glad that this has happened with Bud Light and with Jack Daniels and Maybelline and Target and Kellogg's Corn Flakes. And I'm so happy these things have happened because it is helping. See, the enemy may think it's drawing. They're bringing all this up. And pushing and promoting all this to draw people to them. But what it's doing is it's pushing people away from those things. Away because, well, if you take a look right over here in Where is it? Hebrews? When it talks about that new covenant? With the same people that the old covenant was with? Anyway. Be not deceived, it says. Well, guess what? Many are deceived today. That's 1 Corinthians 6. That's not one of those two threes, but 1 Corinthians 6. Remember, 2 Timothy 3 and 2 Peter 3. Easy to remember because of the times that we find ourselves. And there's another second. It's not a 2-3, but a 2 Kings 17. That if you take a look there, that describes the idol worship. It describes the Lord warning Israel and Judah through his prophets to turn from their evil ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes, according to the law which he commanded our fathers. And then it goes on and says, but they didn't. They didn't. And they, it talks about the idols that they set up, the Baals. And remnant, I think that 2 Kings 17 is a great analogy, a great description, a great foreshadowing of our land today. Of God saying, don't do this. And the people not obeying, and then you can read on and see what happened to them. They were utterly destroyed. Their kingdom, their nation was taken from them. They suffered greatly. And remnant, we see that upon us. We see that in our future in this land, or at least in the future of this land today. We see that. We do. Many people, they understand that these untold hordes, these locusts of Joel that have invaded us from the south and now from the north, that is not, that's not a good sign for peace and prosperity for tomorrow. It's not. It's not. These signs are all around us of what we see. With what we see and what they mean. Well, almost out of time. Sorry I didn't get to open up the phone lines tonight. Wow, time is just running here. So what do we do? What do we do? You know, again, a bit of encouragement in those, you know, 2 Timothy 3. Realize this, these things are what's happening, so don't be that way. Don't be that way. We do our best to teach our children to not be this way, to be just the opposite, because we are spiritually appraised. We have somewhat of a spiritual understanding. No, it's not cockiness. It's not pride. It's not haughtiness. It's duty. Duty and responsibility. The scriptures tell us that we've been called to freedom in Christ, but we're not to use that freedom for the flesh. We're not to use it and to develop a love of money and to push and promote and to put our trust in that. Look at what the 401ks are doing. Look at the older retired people that are back in the workforce. You can't trust that retirement. You just can't. It's not a problem to have it there, but don't have that, like it says in Timothy 3, don't have that love of money. Don't put it first. Don't put it before God. Put the kingdom first. Serve Him. Love God. Matthew 22:37. Jesus is answering,
And Jesus said to him, they were asking him, what is the greatest commandment, Lord, right? They were mocking him. They didn't really want to know. The signs were all around them. And they didn't want to believe him. But you couldn't catch Jesus in a trap. They asked him, what's the greatest commandment? And he said to him, Matthew 22:37, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. That's a good place to start. Love God. You know, and if you do, when we read throughout his scriptures, Jesus even said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He said, this is how you prove that you are my disciples, is you do what I tell you to do. And this word is his word. This word is how he tells us what to do and what not to do, how to be and how not to be, what to love and what not to love. And then verse 39, he says, the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's a good place to start, folks. I know many of us are already there that we are, but this Matthew 22:37, what a difference it would be. What a difference it makes in people's lives when they read this and apply it. It's the very foundation of our nation. The very foundation. In that 2 Peter 3, we read that God is not slow about his promises, as some count slowness, right? But he is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. That is our God's desire. That should be our desire. I know sometimes I don't know about you, but sometimes it's like, God, just wipe them all out. Just kill them all and let God sort them out, right? But you know, that's really the wrong attitude. He is not slow about his promise, but he's patient and long-suffering, not wanting any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Doesn't mean that he wants us. That doesn't contradict what we read there in 1 Corinthians 6. That the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. God does not desire the unrighteous to continue in their unrighteousness. He doesn't desire the sinner to continue in his sin, but to repent and to come out of it. As we're all told, right? Come out of her, my people. Come out of that worldly way, that worldly attitude, that worldly loving money, loving self, that worldly boasting, that worldly gossip and brutality, and that worldly hating of good. He tells us, come out of that. Well, again, wrapping up. We've read it before in Luke 21. It ties right in line. You know, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, don't be terrified. These things have to happen. And we're living them today. It's not just wars and rumors of wars, but these disturbances. Don't be terrified. Terrors, it says, will come, and great signs, and plagues, and famines, and earthquakes. They don't talk too much about those massive earthquakes that Turkey went through last year. Verse 13 of Luke 21 tells us it will lead to an opportunity for your testimony. So I'll leave you with this, remnant. Look for opportunities. We have these wars and disturbances, these rumors, these perilous times, these troubling times that are all around us. For the true follower of Jesus Christ, for you and me, remnant, they lead to an opportunity. They are opportunities for our testimony. Pray for those. Pray for God to open your eyes to present opportunities in your life to share this gospel.
to share this truth, to share this word of God. I hope that you will. I hope that you will. Well, my voice is all but gone. I just don't have any more. Thanks. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for your prayers. Thank you to those out there that support us with your tithes and offering. It allows us to continue to broadcast these messages, pastor's messages, the true gospel of Jesus Christ 24/7 on the website. And Remnant, there's more people that are hearing them every day and that are writing in and ordering and asking questions and searching and finding answers. And that's because of your support. We thank you for it. Remnant, know that we pray for you. We ask you to pray for us here. And I hope you'll join us Saturday morning for Coffee with the Wranglers. We're planning on being here, the good Lord willing. Saturday morning, 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. on the East Coast, and 6 a.m. on the West Coast. We hope you'll join us. Hot coffee with our Bibles, good fellowship with good Christian men and women, and praise and honor and glory to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. Thanks again. God bless. Have a great evening. We'll go out with little Mike Platt J music, and we've got his CDs if you'd like them. Just let us know.
People are asking questions about what's really going on. No one's got the guts to tell the truth. Righteousness is taking a stand. Holiness has drawn its line. The righteous will take it by force and push the evil one back this time. In the name of Jesus. Jesus. Pray. It ain't flesh and blood, righteous wars against. It's the evil spirit that's in this world that we totally come against. The only way to win this war is in our churches and in our homes. Pray to the Father in the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Said the gates of hell cannot stand when